Hey there. Ready to dive into Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Absolutely.
This book's been a mainstay on bestseller lists for ages, and we're going to figure out why it still clicks with people today.
It's a classic.
We'll also pull out those golden nuggets you can actually use whether you're dipping your toes into investing or you're already a seasoned pro.
Sounds good.
So I think one of the most interesting things about this book is how it challenges traditional thinking about money.
Yeah, Robert Kiyosaki really flipped the script on how people think about wealth.
Right, and it's fascinating how those principles hold up in today's world, especially since things have changed quite a bit since Rich Dad, Poor Dad first hit the shelves.
Absolutely. It's almost like he was ahead of his time in a lot of ways.
Totally. Like, take the idea of a house not always being an asset.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
It seems like such a no-brainer that a house is an asset, but Kiyosaki throws that right out the window.
He really does. He argues that for most people, their house is actually a liability.
Which is wild when you think about it, because you always hear about how owning a home is such a great investment.
Right, but he points out that most people's homes are tied to a mortgage, property taxes, maintenance costs, all those things that drain your cash flow.
It's true. You're kind of stuck in this cycle of paying for it, even if the value is going up.
Exactly. And that's what he wants you to avoid. He wants you to focus on assets that generate income.
So instead of your money going towards expenses, it's coming back to you, ideally multiplying along the way.
Precisely. He wants you to have your money work for you, not the other way around.
It's like building your own personal money tree.
Ah, I like that.
And speaking of money trees, one of the stories that always stands out in the book is that whole counterfeit toothpaste empire that young Robert and his friend try to create.
Oh, yeah, with the hibachi grill.
Yes, they've got this hilarious setup with a hibachi grill as their production line. It's classic Kiyosaki.
It really is. It's a funny story, but it illustrates a really important point. It's not about being afraid to fail, it's about learning from those experiences and having that entrepreneurial spirit.
Totally.
Yeah.
And they do learn eventually.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that really clicked for me was that concept of paying yourself first.
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
Kiyosaki says you should set aside money for your asset column before you even think about bills or taxes.
Yeah.
It felt a little counterintuitive at first, I'll admit.
It goes against how most people think about money, for sure. But that's the shift Kiyosaki wants you to make. It's about changing your mindset from working for money to having your money work for you.
So instead of immediately paying off all your expenses,
Yeah.
you're prioritizing your own financial growth.
Exactly. By putting your asset column first, you're constantly building that wealth-generating engine, even if it starts small.
And it makes sense that this shift in thinking can really light a fire under you to get creative. You're looking for new income streams, exploring different investment opportunities. It's like you're always on the lookout for ways to feed that asset column
And
first.
that's how you build momentum.
But it's not all about the hustle, is it? Kiyosaki also talks about finding your path, which is something I know you wanted to dig into.
Yes, it's a critical piece of the puzzle. Rich Dad, Poor Dad isn't just about stacking cash, it's about designing a life you love and finding that thing that really gets you going.
I like that. And that's where his four quadrants come in, right? The ESBNI.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He uses those to illustrate the different ways people earn income and the mindsets associated with each one.
So it's not just about how much money you're making, but how you're making it.
Exactly. Each quadrant comes with its own set of opportunities and challenges when it comes to building wealth and achieving financial freedom.
Okay, I'm really curious to unpack this. Let's break it down. Most people probably start in that employee quadrant, right? What are the challenges there?
Well, being an employee isn't inherently bad. But Kiyosaki argues it's hard to build real wealth when you're trading time for money. Even with raises or promotions, you're still limited by how many hours you can work and what your employer is willing to pay.
So there's a ceiling, even if you're really good at what you do. It's like that saying, you'll never get rich working for someone else.
Right. And you're always beholden to someone else's decisions.
Which can be frustrating, but then there's the self-employed or small business owner quadrant. That seems like a step up, right?
It can be. You have more control over your time and income, but it's not without its drawbacks. Kiyosaki points out that many small business owners end up being self-employed slaves. They're chained to their businesses, working around the clock just to keep things afloat.
So it's trading one kind of boss for another. You're not really free if you're constantly grinding, even if it's for yourself.
That's the trade-off. So you have to ask yourself, is that the kind of freedom you're looking for?
That's a good question. So where does that leave us? What about those other two quadrants?
That's where things get really interesting. The business owner quadrant is where Kiyosaki sees the potential for true financial freedom. He's talking about building systems and teams that generate income even without your direct involvement.
So it's not just you and maybe a few employees. It's about creating something that can run without you constantly having to be there.
Exactly. Think of big companies like McDonald's or Apple. The owners have created systems that generate massive revenue without their day-to-day involvement.
Right. It's about working smarter, not harder. But it's not easy to get there, is it?
It takes a different mindset and skill set, for sure. You need to be able to delegate, manage, and think strategically.
And then there's the investor quadrant. I think a lot of people might think of that as being reserved for, well, rich people.
That's a common misconception, and it ties back to that financial literacy piece we talked about earlier. Kiyosaki wants you to understand that investing isn't just for the wealthy. It's a crucial tool for anyone who wants to build long-term wealth. It's about putting your money to work for you, not the other way around.
So what does it actually mean to invest through a rich dad lens? Is it just about playing the stock market?
It's much broader than that. It's about understanding assets, evaluating opportunities, and managing risk. It could be anything from real estate to businesses to intellectual property.
Okay, so we've got these four quadrants, and it's clear that Kiyosaki favors the business owner and investor quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
But he also stresses that there's no one right quadrant right.
Absolutely. It's about finding the path that aligns with your goals, your risk tolerance, and even your personality. Some people thrive in a structured environment like the employee quadrant, while others are wired for the challenges and rewards of entrepreneurship. It's not about judging. It's about understanding the dynamics of each path and making conscious choices about where you want to be.
And it's probably safe to say that most people won't fit neatly into just one box.
Exactly. Kiyosaki isn't saying you have to choose one quadrant and stay there forever. It's about recognizing where you are now and then creating a plan to transition to the quadrant that best supports your overall financial aspirations.
So it's less about picking a lane and more about designing your own roadmap.
I like that. It's about taking control of your financial future and designing a life that allows you to achieve your dreams, whatever those dreams might be. It's all about finding the right path for you. And it might not be a straight line either.
That's a really good point. Actually, you mentioning finding the right path reminded me of something we were talking about earlier about corporations and how the wealthy use them to their advantage.
Oh, right. It's amazing how many people completely tune that out, thinking, oh, that's just for rich people, not for me.
I have to admit, I was one of them. I always thought of corporations as these big faceless entities, not something that would be relevant to, you know, regular people.
That's exactly the kind of thinking Kiyosaki wants to challenge. He argues that understanding legal structures is crucial if you want to build real wealth. It's about working smarter, not harder. Like, he uses the example of how corporations can be used to protect your assets and even minimize your tax burden, things that most people don't even consider.
It's like playing the game by a different set of rules.
In a way, yeah. He's not advocating for anything illegal or unethical, of course, but he wants you to understand the tools and strategies that wealthy people use to their advantage.
So it's more about leveling the playing field.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. And the more you know about how money really works, the better equipped you'll be to make it work for you.
Which brings us back to that fundamental concept, the difference between an asset and a liability.
The cornerstone of the rich dad philosophy.
Right. It seems straightforward at first, but the way Kiyosaki breaks it down really makes you think twice.
It's all about shifting your perspective. He says an asset is anything that puts money in your pocket while a liability takes money out.
And that's where that whole house argument comes in.
Exactly. He's not afraid to challenge conventional wisdom. Like when he talks about how a house might actually be a liability for most people, not an asset.
Which still kind of blows my mind. I mean, you always hear about how owning a home is such a great investment.
And it can be, don't get me wrong. He points out that for most people, their homes are tied to a mortgage, property taxes, maintenance costs, all those things that drain your cash flow.
Even if the property value is increasing.
Exactly. So it's not always the slam dunk investment that people think it is.
So instead of pouring your money into a house that may or may not appreciate in value, Kiyosaki wants you to look at income generating assets.
Things that put money back in your pocket consistently.
So instead of your money going towards expenses, it's coming back to you, ideally multiplying along the way.
Exactly. And that brings us back to those four quadrants, the ESB and I, that we talked about earlier. Do you remember what those stand for?
Of course. Employee, self-employed business owner, and investor.
And Kiyosaki uses these quadrants to illustrate the different ways people earn income and the mindsets associated with each one.
So it's not just about how much money you're making, but how you're making it.
Exactly. Each quadrant comes with its own set of opportunities and challenges when it comes to building wealth and achieving financial freedom.
Okay. I'm really curious to unpack this. Let's break it down. Most people probably start in that employee quadrant, right? What are the challenges there?
Well, being an employee isn't inherently bad, but Kiyosaki argues it's hard to build real wealth when you're trading time for money.
Even with raises or promotions, you're still limited by how many hours you can work and what your employer is willing to pay.
Exactly. You're always going to be at the mercy of someone else's decisions when it comes to your income.
So there's only so far you can go, even if you work really hard.
Right. It's about understanding the limitations of that quadrant.
Which is not to say that everyone should quit their jobs and become entrepreneurs.
Of course not. It's about finding the right path for you.
Okay, so let's say you do want to break free from that employee mindset. What about the self-employed or small business owner quadrant? How does that differ?
That's where a lot of people go when they want more control over their time and income, and it definitely has its advantages. You're calling the shots. You're building something of your own, but...
But there's always a but.
Right. There's a reason Kiyosaki calls many small business owners self-employed slaves. They end up chained to their businesses, working around the clock just to keep things afloat.
So it's trading one kind of boss for another?
In a way, yeah. You're not really free if you're constantly grinding, even if it's for yourself.
So how do you escape that?
That's where the business owner quadrant comes in. This is where Kiyosaki sees the potential for true financial freedom.
Because you're not just trading your time for money anymore.
Exactly. He's talking about building systems and teams that generate income even without your direct involvement.
So it's more about creating a money-making machine that doesn't require you to be constantly pulling the levers.
Precisely. Think of big companies like McDonald's or Apple. The owners have created systems that generate massive revenue without their day-to-day involvement.
That's the dream. But it's not easy to get there, is it?
It takes a different mindset and skill set for sure.
Yeah.
You need to be able to delegate, manage, and think strategically. It's about working on your business, not just in your business.
And then there's the investor quadrant, which I think a lot of people might assume is only for, well, rich people.
That's a misconception. And it's something Kiyosaki really wants to debunk. He believes that investing is a crucial tool for anyone who wants to build long-term wealth. It's about putting your money to work for you, not the other way around.
So what does it actually mean to invest through a rich dad lens? Is it just about playing the stock market?
It's so much broader than that. It's about understanding assets, evaluating opportunities, and managing risk. It could be anything from real estate to businesses to intellectual property.
So it's about developing your financial intelligence so you can spot those opportunities.
Exactly. It's about becoming a savvy investor no matter what asset class you're interested in.
Okay, so we've got these four quadrants. And it's clear that Kiyosaki favors the business owner and investor quadrants. But he also stresses that there's no one right quadrant right.
Exactly. It's about finding the path that aligns with your goals, your risk tolerance, and even your personality. Some people thrive in a structured environment, like the employee quadrant, while others are wired for the challenges and rewards of entrepreneurship.
And some people might even find themselves moving between quadrants at different points in their lives.
Absolutely. Life is a journey, and your financial path is just one part of that journey. Kiyosaki isn't saying you have to choose one quadrant and stay there forever. It's about recognizing where you are now, and then creating a plan to transition to the quadrant that best supports your overall financial aspirations.
So it's all about taking control of your financial future.
Yeah.
And designing a life that allows you to achieve your dreams, whatever those dreams might be.
You got it. It really is about taking ownership of your financial well-being.
And, you know, speaking of ownership, one of the things that really struck me in Rich Dad, Poor Dad was Kiyosaki's definition of wealth.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget about that?
He says it's not about how much money you have in the bank,
yeah,
but how long you can survive without a job. Such a powerful way to reframe the whole idea of financial success, isn't it?
It really is. It's not about accumulating material possessions. It's about creating a life that gives you choices and freedom.
Exactly. It's about having options.
Yeah,
it's about not feeling trapped. It's about having the security to pursue your passions without constantly worrying about money.
Absolutely. It's about building that safety net, that foundation that gives you the freedom to live life on your own terms.
But let's be real. For a lot of people, the biggest obstacle standing between them and that freedom is fear.
Oh, absolutely. Fear can be crippling.
Right. Whether it's the fear of making a bad investment or just the fear of not knowing enough, it can really hold people back.
Kiyosaki talks about that a lot in the book, and he emphasizes that knowledge is key. The more you understand about money and investing, the less scary it all seems.
So it's about educating yourself, empowering yourself with information.
Exactly. But he also stresses that knowledge isn't enough. You have to be willing to take action to put that knowledge to work for you.
It's like that old saying, the only way to do it is to do it.
Exactly. And sometimes that means taking a leap of faith, stepping outside of your comfort zone. But it's in those moments of courage that real growth happens.
Easier said than done, though, right? Taking that first step can be terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. But that's where having a mentor can be invaluable, someone who's been there, done that, and can offer guidance and support along the way.
Because sometimes you just need someone to believe in you, even when you don't believe in yourself.
Exactly. And that's something else that Kiyosaki talks about a lot, the importance of having the right mindset.
The whole abundance mindset, believing that there are enough opportunities out there for everyone.
Absolutely. It's about shifting from a scarcity mindset where you're constantly worried about not having enough to a mindset of abundance and possibility.
Because when you believe in yourself and your ability to create wealth, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities.
Precisely. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more you believe in yourself, the more likely you are to take risks, to put yourself out there, and ultimately to succeed.
It's like they say, you have to visualize it to realize it.
Exactly. And surrounding yourself with the right people can make a world of difference.
Oh, absolutely. Your network can make or break you.
Right. If you're surrounded by people who are negative and unambitious, it's going to be that much harder to achieve your own goals. But if you surround yourself with people who are positive and supportive, who believe in your dreams, it can give you that extra boost you need to succeed.
Because success breeds success.
Exactly. And it's not just about finding mentors or networking with successful people. It's also about being open to learning from everyone and anyone.
Soaking up knowledge like a sponge.
Exactly. Read books, attend seminars, listen to podcasts. The more you expose yourself to new ideas and perspectives, the more well-rounded you'll become as an individual and as an investor.
Because at the end of the day, it's all about continuous learning and growth, isn't it?
Absolutely. The world of finance is constantly changing. There are always new opportunities, new challenges, new things to learn.
So you can't just rest on your laurels. You have to be adaptable. You have to be willing to evolve.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so exciting. It's a lifelong journey of discovery and growth.
Well said. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Rich Dad, Poor Dad, what are some of the key takeaways you hope our listeners will walk away with today?
You know, it's been amazing revisiting this book with you today. It's a book that sparked countless conversations and inspired millions to rethink their relationship with money.
And hopefully this deep dive has given our listeners some fresh perspectives and actionable insights to fuel their own journey to financial freedom.
That's what it's all about, taking control of your financial future, designing a life you love, and living a life of abundance and freedom.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This is definitely a book that I think everyone should read at least once. It's thought-provoking, it's challenging, and it might just change the way you think about money forever.
I completely agree.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. But don't worry, our deep dive into the world of personal finance doesn't end here. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll be tackling another financial classic.
Can't wait.
Until then, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, keep investing in yourself.